Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning, and please be sure to take note of all the announcements that are in the back of your bulletins. Just a couple of things to highlight. This week, with our Lent rotational, we will be at San Luis Catholic Church, and the schedule for that is 6 o'clock supper, 7 o'clock worship, and then each week during Lent, we do have a Wednesday morning devotional service. And that is in the chapel, and that is at 10 o'clock in the mornings, Wednesday mornings. And one other thing is that on May 3rd, we will have reception of new members. So if you know somebody who is interested in being a new member, or if you would like to be a member of this congregation, please let me know or the office know. And if you've already let me know already, or if you filled out your paperwork already, then you are good to go. All right, any other announcements? Anybody else? Then I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Amen. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant or his cattle or anything that is your neighbor's. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you, and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them, and repent of them, and pray for your boundless mercy. For the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Forgive my sins, give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, grant that we, who for our evil deeds worthily deserve to be punished, by the comfort of your grace, may mercifully be relieved through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, In the Hour of Trial. You may be seated.
In the hour of trial, oh, Jesus. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time I've held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way they do not know, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf but my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will responsively read Psalm 142. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. I cry to you, O Lord, I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Bring me out of the prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Congregation may be seated for the reading of the Gospel this morning. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was blind, born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" They cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him,
You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, We see, your guilt remains. The Gospel of the Lord. And I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning, and welcome to the middle of Lent, as well as spring break. We don't think about that very often, do we? But it is the middle of Lent. We're kind of in the middle now. We've had a couple of weeks of Lenten services. We have a couple of weeks left, and then Holy Week, and then Easter. So, I've asked a volunteer to help me today. I've already got kind of lined it up because I wanted to make sure I had somebody here. And so, Mason, would you stand up in front here? And here's what we're going to do. I have this wonderful bag of Skittles for you, but you got to find it. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. Come on over here with me, and we're going to blindfold you. Okay? And then we're going to let you go. And you can find that bag of Skittles, and I'm going to hide it in a minute. Now, you don't get dizzy, do you? Because I am going to spin you around a little bit. Okay? Because you got to find it. We're going to make you work for it. All right, here we go. Around and round and round we go. And I'm going to be walking around, so you just can't. You can stop now. You almost kept going on me there. That would have been fun. All right. Now, I'm going to hide the Skittles someplace. And like I said, I'm going to be walking around all around to kind of also help with that. Okay? So you don't necessarily have to go with my voice because I'm going to be walking around. Okay, you ready? Go. You know where you are?
No.
No, okay. All right, well, let's go back over here. All right. All right, now I need one more volunteer. All right, you had your hand up early also. Come on. Now, here's what I want you to do. All right, Mason, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your right arm and stick it straight out with a fist, straight out. Okay? Bend your elbow a little bit. All right, you come over here. And I'm going to show you how to lead her around, okay? What you're going to do is you're going to grab with both arms. You're going to grab one on top, one on the bottom of your elbow. And what's going to happen is when you want her to go this way, you're going to take that elbow and hold it light and pull it that way. Okay? All right? When you want her to go this way, you're going to take that elbow and pull it that way. When you want her to go forward, you're just going to give it a little nudge forward. When you want her to stop, you're going to pull it back. Okay? All right? And I'm going to ask you to guide her to the prize. Okay? All right. Are you ready? All right. Take off. Guide her to it. And there you are. Okay? Thank you both. All right, we can go sit down. And yes, you will get some Skittles eventually. But not right now. We'll get them in Sunday school. Now, I got a question for you, Mason. Was it easy to try to do it all by yourself? No, it wasn't, was it? Was it easier when somebody was guiding you? Yes, isn't it? Well, what would it be like, though, if I went out to the street and got a stranger and brought him in and had you guiding? Would you like that as much? No, there was a real, like, alarmed look before the no. Well, today in our gospel lesson, Jesus helps this person, kind of like guiding them, and they were blind, kind of like you were. But then when he went back and told everybody, there's a whole long gospel. The gospel lesson was long today, but there was all these people that did not believe in Jesus and Jesus' help. They kept saying, gosh, he must be a prophet. He must be, certainly if he's a sinner, he can't do that. And even the religious people said, he did it on the wrong day. He can't do it on that day. They all doubted. Even the man himself doubted for a while. But he's the one that went back and said, I believe that you are Jesus, I believe you are the Christ. We talk about being guided through life, okay? And we hope that we're following him, but how do we know? Well, we come here, and we have our Bible lessons, our stories, our Sunday school. We hear in our songs. Believe it or not, it's in our song that we sang right before the lessons. Listen, this is the last verse of that song. Grant that I may never fail thy hand to see. Kind of like the blind man, right? And then it says, grant that I may ever cast my care on thee. That's saying, why not let me let you guide me? So there he is. The question is, will we follow? Will we know who he is? And will we give him our hand and let him guide us through life? Wouldn't that be wonderful? There we go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being there for us, to guide us through life when we can see and when we can't. Because sometimes your guidance is little and sometimes your guidance is a lot. And sometimes you're guiding us and we don't even know it. Thank you for being there for us with your Holy Spirit, your Son, our Savior, and your love of the Father. Amen. All right, I've got stickers for you though. And then, like I said, you see me in Sunday school? And then you can have some Skittles too, okay, if you want them. All right, and I hope you have a good rest of your, hope you have a good spring break because you started this week, okay? And have a good day. Once you get your sticker, you're on your way.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During these weeks of Lent leading up to the Sunday of the Passion or Palm Sunday, we have a series of readings that come from John's Gospel, and they're rather lengthy, but each one tells a new story about Christ, and it leads up to then Jesus going to the cross and the resurrection and then the Easter event. And so last week we heard the story of the woman at the well. Today we hear the story of the man born blind, and next week we will hear the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. This story from John that we read today is one of my favorite stories in the Bible because it has so much stuff in it. Again, it was long, but it has a lot of different themes running through it. It has that theme of light and darkness. It has that theme of forgiveness. It has the theme of belief. It plays off of one another. There's a little bit of snarkiness in this one again, just like there was in that last story that we read. And so it just has a lot of stuff in here. One way I'd like to approach this story, though, is the reaction of this healing of the blind man. But first, just think about what Jesus did to this man born blind. Think what it would be like to be blind from birth, of never being able to see. Think about how much you rely on sight and what you use sight for and what you see as you look. You think about this man born blind, he was never able to see his mother's face or his father's face or anybody's face. He could not read expressions. He couldn't see the smile that somebody else may have given him. He couldn't see a sunset. He couldn't see the colors of the rainbow. He couldn't see the beauty of the spring when the flowers are blooming or when the trees and the grass are starting to green up and the freshness of it all. Think about how much you use your sight when you work, of what you do, if you cook or just whatever work that you do. Think about it when you wouldn't be able to drive a car. This man was born blind. He never had his sight. And so when Jesus heals him, you would think that everybody would be excited. Everybody would be in just awe and wonder because of such a wonderful gift has now been given to this man born blind. But the reactions were not all the same. They weren't all so warm and welcoming and full of awe. The first reaction was the unbelief. You know, I imagine that was the first initial reaction, maybe of even the blind man. You know, I can't believe this is happening. You know, when something great happens, you can't believe that you were there, that you actually get to witness this event, that this was happening to the blind man. But in this story, the blind man does, I mean, immediately he is thankful that he has his sight, that he can see, that he can see what everybody else has been talking about. But then there were others that did not believe. I mean, even some of the bystanders, because Jesus had told him to go wash the mud off of his eyes. He came back, and when he came back, those that knew him were in an argument. Was this the same man? Yes, it was. It was the one that we see every day begging on the street corners. And the others were saying, no, it's just somebody like him. It just looks like him. There's no way that anybody can be healed who has been born blind. So at first, there's unbelief. Even though people see it. People see that it's true. And then you also had the Pharisees, which they truly did not believe. And what confused them is this did happen on the Sabbath day. And to heal somebody that is not an immediate emergency would be considering breaking that second commandment of remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Because the Sabbath day was the day of worship and it was a day of rest and you were not supposed to do any work, and healing somebody would definitely be work. And so it confused the Pharisees. So if he healed this man, then he broke God's law. And then others were arguing, but to heal the man, he had to be blessed by God. So which was it? They couldn't believe that this man born blind had been healed. They would not believe it. They saw it right there in front of them, but they still would not believe it. You know, we see things in front of us too, and we just don't want to believe it. We can't believe it's true. It's not within our worldview. It's not within what we think life should be like, and so it can't be true. Even though it might be true, it can't be true. We just won't believe it. We'll ignore it. It's gone. But that does not help us in any way. We see, but our eyes are not open. Another reaction here in this story is his parents. His parents believed that he was healed. They believed that he was his son. But they didn't want to have anything to do with it. Again, too, I mean, if you're parents of a child and your child is not well, and all of a sudden they're made well, wouldn't you be excited? Wouldn't you be out there telling everybody what has happened? But that didn't happen with these parents. Again, this man was grown. I'm sure his parents loved him, especially when he was young. But again, then too, there was a taint of sin somewhere around here, according to their customs, that somebody had sinned, because otherwise this child wouldn't have been born blind. It was because of sin that he was born blind. Was it their sin? Was it their parents' sin? Was it this child's sin? Who sinned that this man was born blind? And so the parents really didn't have much to do with him after he grew up. They let him go on his own way. And his only option was to beg on the streets. And so when he was healed, his parents were asked, is this your son? They said, yes. Was he healed? Yes. He now sees. He was blind and now he sees. How did this happen? We don't know. Who did this? We don't know. They were not willing to take a stand. They were not willing to put their necks out there, because if they did, then they would lose their status in the community. And they weren't about to do that. You know, we can look around us. We can see the issues here in this world around us. Or we can see somebody hurting. We can see things that need to get done. But we're not about ready to jump in there, because that would be putting our necks on the line. It would mean I'd have to do something different. I would have to change. And we don't like change. We don't like doing something different. We don't like our lives interrupted. And so it's better just to see it, to recognize it, and then ignore it. And we move on our own way. And nothing gets done. And then the other reaction, the reaction of actual belief, of truly believing. This blind man, this man who had been born blind, received his sight. He was grateful. He was thankful. And you can see in the story how his faith actually increased. When he was asked about who healed him, he said it was the man Jesus from Nazareth. When he was asked again, he said it was a prophet. And when he was asked again, or at the end of the story, the man recognizes and calls Jesus Lord, and he worships him. The faith of the man grew and grew, even in the midst of controversy. When wonderful things happen to us, when our faith is strong, that doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to go our way. Actually, it may mean that things may get tougher, that it may get harder, because there's always pushback. Like from his parents, I'm sure that hurt him when his parents wouldn't stand up to him. It was that pushback. And I'm sure it hurt him that even though he was made able to see, he was still not able to join society because the Pharisees cast him out. They said, "You are a sinner. You were born in utter sin, and you stay in utter sin." They did not recognize the miracle that had happened. They did not recognize the work of God. What's interesting about this story, and again, it plays off, there's word exchanges, it plays off of one another. It was those, or the man who was blind, is now the one who sees. But those who ought to be able to see, the religious leaders, they can't see. And everything gets switched around. Jesus has that effect. He turns lives around. This man was a beggar, a blind beggar. He had nothing to look forward to in life. And now he sees. He has his whole life ahead of him. He sees. These Pharisees are in utter darkness because they do not see. They have lost that chance. God has come close to them. And they have pushed God away simply because they will not see. We are blessed. We are blessed by the light of Christ. We are blessed by the love that He gives us. We are blessed by the healing that He brings among us. We are blessed by the challenges that are presented in faith. Christ, as this story starts out, He says, "I am the light of the world." And the best that we can do is simply open our eyes and worship the light. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn of the day, "Lord, Whose Love in Humble Service."
Thank you.
Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God, eternally God and Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the one made with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary.
Let us lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer, that he would be merciful to his people. Father, thank you for the light of the sun, the moon, the stars, street lights, candles, and lamps. Thank you for these created lights that bear witness to the true and uncreated light, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lead us, even when our eyes fail and earthly lights grow dim, to his kindly light, which no darkness can overcome. Lord, in your mercy. Heal the blindness of your church. Give it eyes to see the plight of all who are afflicted by sin, death, and the devil, and to proclaim your redemption, given through the passion of your dear Son. Lord, in your mercy. Give clear sight and strong faith to missionaries, seminarians and their professors, pastors and all of Jesus' apprentices. Through their labors, lead many who are spiritually blind to Jesus for healing. Lord, in your mercy. Let your healing, blessing, and grace rest upon the blind and the deaf, and those with impaired senses of touch, taste, or balance, or movement. Give them strength and courage. Sharpen the perception of their other senses. Surround them with people whose respect and encouragement leads them to greater faith in you, their light and their life. Lord, in your mercy. Heal the blindness of the nations and all who are in positions of authority. Give them eyes to seek your will and hearts and hands to do it. Give them eyes to see injustice, deceit, and cruelty, and the strength and the courage to combat them. Make each of us into children of your light, living in faith towards you and with love toward one another. Lord, in your mercy. As your dear Son healed the man born blind, we pray that he would also bring healing, light, hope, and faith to everyone who suffers from any affliction. Lift them up from pain, sorrow, fear, or grief. We pray especially for Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Margie Bolting, Larry Miller, Lana Creech, Gary Deskin, Clem Waskow, Kate Janice, B. McNabb, the family of Debbie Kirchhoff. And we pray for those who put themselves in harm's way for the sake of others. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, dear Father, for receiving into your eternal light and life our beloved dead. Deal mercifully with them, with those shadowed
by grief. Lead us to heaven with all who have been redeemed by the merits of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him, Jesus Christ. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, for all is ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give you a contrite heart. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace. And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, Abide With Me.
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you're invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.